Now, these past weeks during Advent and over Christmas, we've been doing something a little bit different, maybe, in that we've been looking at all the Old Testament prophecies that pointed forward towards the birth of Jesus. Passages from Isaiah and Micah, Jeremiah, Zephaniah. This morning, probably a passage that you've never heard a sermon on before, the second chapter of Zechariah, and we're going to look at that for a few moments this morning. The setting for this chapter was that God's people had sometime earlier been carried off into exile. They were in exile in Babylon, and they were now being given the opportunity to return back to their homeland, to return back to the Jerusalem, their city, the city of their forefathers. But actually, not many of them would choose to return. They had settled into life in Babylon. Life was comfortable in Babylon. And they were happy in Babylon. And they were happy to forget, actually, about the worship of God and pursuing God and following God. They had moved away from all of that. And there were very few of them who were willing to return to the city of Jerusalem. And what we find in this chapter is that we're told that people will come from other ends of the earth, and they will come to worship God from the four corners of the earth. That the coming Messiah will be a light to lighten the Gentiles, as well as the glory of God's people, Israel. Verses 1 and 2, I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I said, where are you going? And he said to me to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. The chapter begins with the prophet Zechariah having a vision of a person like a surveyor surveying the city of Jerusalem, getting ready for the city to be rebuilt, getting ready for the city to be restored, getting ready for all that was going to happen in the city of Jerusalem in the decades and in the centuries that would follow. And he has this vision of somebody measuring the city. But the amazing thing is that the city this time round won't have walls. We read in verses 3 and following, and behold, the angel who talked with me came forward, and another angel came forward to meet him and said to me, run, say to that young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. So great will be the numbers of people actually coming to the city of Jerusalem that the city will be a city without walls. Now remember that the city of Jerusalem had been surrounded by incredible walls. Walls actually that were so thick that two chariots could run side by side on the top of these walls. And yet the inhabitants of the city had been carried off into exile because the walls in themselves weren't enough to protect God's people. And the people within the walls had become more dependent upon themselves and indeed upon the walls and on other things than they were dependent upon God. But a new day is coming. A new day is coming when people will come from the four corners of the globe to inhabit the city of Jerusalem. The gospel of the Lord Jesus, the good news about Jesus, God's Son, will actually be a message that's not just for the Jewish people, but for the whole world. And Gentiles will come and will worship him. We see that, first of all, in the wise men who come from the east to worship Jesus. but down through the centuries that have followed the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the gospel has gone out into the four corners of the world. And people from the four corners of the earth have become followers of Jesus Christ. Zechariah, the prophet, is prophesying a future that will be greater than the past. And there's one theme that runs through the whole book of Zechariah, and that runs through this chapter, and it could be summed up probably in one sentence, that the prophet is calling God's people to live lives of real maturity, to become real mature followers of God. Not just to be those who sort of dabble in and out of following God, but those who are mature in their lives and in the ways that they would pursue following God. He prophesies that people will come to Jerusalem from the four corners of the earth. He prophesies that the gospel will be for all and not just for a few. He prophesies that all over the world people will be gathered to follow Jesus. And he prophesies that a mark of maturity will be that we would be a people who wouldn't be selfish and hold things to ourselves, but would be those who would embrace those who are very different to us, those who would stand alongside others who are very different to us, those who would care for others who are very different to us, those who would count as brothers and sisters, those who are very different to us. Zechariah, the prophet here, warns the people to leave Babylon, but they're reluctant to do so. Verses 7 and 9, up, escape to Zion, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who serve them. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. We see here something of what it means to be one of the people of God, one of the mature people of God. The exiles in Babylon prefer the comfort of Babylon to actually both the journey to Jerusalem and all that would follow by way of a new lifestyle for them of loving and following God in the city of Jerusalem. They, like us, so easily have been tempted to just move a distance from God. Maybe not to forsake him completely, but to move a distance from God. And the challenge of the prophet is that they would come back and that they would give their whole lives to living for and to pursuing the things that God would have for them. That's a real mark of Christian maturity, that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. Another sign of Christian maturity is a recognition in the heart and in the life of the Christian that every person is precious to God, that he draws everyone into his family from every tribe and from every people and every language, that he loves the weak and he loves the strong, that he calls to become his disciples people of every race and of every background. Sign of immaturity in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and among God's people is when we kind of choose to relate to those that we find it easy to relate to, those who are like us, those who we get on well with, those who we enjoy spending time with. But a mark of maturity in the life of the Christian is that we become willing to work with and serve with and spend time with and care for and reach towards and love and be devoted to those who are different to us. Maybe even those who get under our skin at times. That's a sign of Christian maturity, and God calls us to maturity. These exiles are called to return from Babylon to the city of Jerusalem. Few of them will come, but actually the prophet makes it clear that people from every race and tribe and people and language will come to worship the Christ, will come to worship the Messiah, will come to worship the one who will go to a cross, who will pay for the sins of the whole world on a cross outside that city. Is that prophecy being fulfilled? Well, commentators suggest that it's being fulfilled at all sorts of different levels. The level of Jewish people today from all over the world returning to the city of Jerusalem from the four corners of the earth. Today also Jews and Gentiles from every nation and tribe and people becoming followers of Jesus Christ. Because we live in the West, we tend to think perhaps that there's not a lot happening by way of people following Jesus today, that the church is in decline. But actually, in other parts of the world, the church is growing at a phenomenal rate. Earlier in the year, I attended a conference that gathered together Anglicans from all over the world. And one of the things that I became conscious of, and I maybe have mentioned this to you before, that in the nation of Nigeria, for example, today there will be 20 million Anglicans alone who will be worshiping in churches in the nation of Nigeria. 20 million in that nation alone. That's more than all the Christians in North America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland and Europe put together in that one nation. God gathering from the four corners of the globe those who are becoming his disciples. And he calls us to become mature disciples, those who are willing to forsake the things that maybe we can be drawn towards that are maybe not wrong in themselves, but if they take the place of Christ in our lives, then we can allow them to just push us to one side so that Jesus is kept at a distance rather than the one we love most and love best. And also that we would become mature so that we relate well, and that we relate humbly, not just to those who are like us, but to those who are very, very different to us. A restored temple, a restored city in the days of Zechariah would mean nothing unless the Lord would be present among his people. We read in verses 11 and following, and many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. The thing that would make the difference in the days of Zechariah the prophet, and the thing that will make the difference in your life and in my life, is the presence of the Lord, pressing into the presence of the Lord, coming near to the presence of the Lord. being changed by the presence of the Lord, being drawn to a place of repentance and humility by the presence of the Lord, turning towards the Lord God and giving our lives to the Lord because of the presence of the Lord. That's the invitation. And it's an invitation to you and to me. It's a challenge for you and for me. And it's an invitation to those that are like us and those that are very different to us. I don't know if you've ever been to any of the bigger diocesan events that happen from time to time. Our bishop, Bishop Harald, has a habit of doing something at the end of the services that some of us actually squirm whenever he does it. He gets everybody to stand, and then he gets everybody to hold hands. And if you're like me and you're stuck in the chancel or at the front of the church and you're surrounded by clergymen, holding hands with half a dozen men doesn't quite kind of do it. And so you're stuck there at the front of the church holding hands with all of these men. And then he gets us to say the grace together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. But first of all, he points out that we're all the same family. We all belong to the one family. And he goes through something like the tall ones, the short ones, the old ones, the young ones, the thin ones. And then he jokingly always says, but there's no fat ones. And of course there are. Not looking at anybody after Christmas but myself. But the point is this. He goes on to say, we don't get to choose our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We don't get to choose who else chooses to follow Jesus any more than you get to choose in your earthly family who your brother or who your sister or who your aunts or who your uncles happen to be. You don't have any choice in any of that. And in the same way, within the family of God, within the church of God, you don't have any choice. You don't have any choice whether you like it or not. You're stuck with me as your brother. And I'm stuck with you as sisters and brothers. And we've got brothers and sisters all over the world, scattered all over this globe. Some of them very, very different to us. We've got sisters and brothers quite close at hand here that maybe we love and relate to very easily. We have others maybe that we find more difficult to relate to. But as we move towards a new year, the challenge is this, and the challenge from the prophet Zechariah is this, that we become mature. We become mature followers of Jesus. Maturity means that we often need to set aside our petty likes and dislikes. And it also means that we must choose to love the Lord Jesus Christ more than we love all the trappings of society and life around us, more than we love anything else or anyone else, but that we follow him because in following him, we come to know life in all its fullness, and we come to enter into the best blessings that God has for us. Let us pray.